You know, I want you to think about something as the choir is making their way down and you guys are getting ready. Take your Bibles, if you brought them, and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Thank you, guys. Luke chapter 1. We are continuing our series, The Promise. And today we're going to look at Mary. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, in my 15 years of preaching the gospel, and I mean this, and I don't mean this in any humorous way or anything, I've never been more excited about preaching a message like I am today. I got carried away when I was preparing this. Prepared way too much than I know I'm going to be able to deliver. But I'm going to be honest. When I studied this text, and God has just really revealed Himself to me. But during this Christmas season, I want you to think about this. You know, God is not personal to a lot of people, or for many people, God's not personal to them. For many years of my life, up until I was 20 years old, He was really not personal to me. And I want you to ask yourself that question, is God personal to you? Because really, all He was to me was like this doctrine that I learned, or this lifestyle that I tried to pursue to make sure that I was living a lifestyle that lined up with what a Christian is supposed to be, or what I had learned at the church. And so really, He was just a doctrine that I thought I learned, or a lifestyle that I pursued. And then after I got saved, I caught on to something. God has always pursued a relationship with people. Remember, what did He do with Adam and Eve? He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He built His people a tabernacle in their midst where His presence dwelt, and the people called God Jehovah Shammah, which meant the God who is present with us. When the angel appeared to Mary, he told her that she will have a child, and he will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And now, according to Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came down, and He's closer to us than He's ever been before, because He lives inside of us. He has always pursued a relationship with people. If you're in here today, God, if you're not saved, He is in hot pursuit of you. He is hot on your trails, brothers and sisters. He wants you. 10:31, if you are listening, He wants you. He wants to have a relationship with everybody. That's why we're doing this Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It's because we believe that every single person in the world ought to be able to hear about this relationship that God wants to have with them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, we're going to look at Mary today. And maybe in a way that you've never studied her before. Because can I just say this to every lady in this room? You talk about a role model. Oh, dear friends, you talk about a role model. Mary is the person that you ought to model your life after. Mary really is an incredible woman of God that every one of you could be like. And we're going to see that today. So Luke chapter 1, we're going to read, I tell you, I almost read the entire chapter, but look in verse 26. Please stand in honor of reading God's Word. We're going to go 26 through 38, but our focus is going to be on verses 46 through 56, okay? All right, here we go, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting was this. See how humble she is. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Remember, her marriage had not been consummated. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, here we go, guys, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Father in heaven, oh Lord Jesus, I need your help this morning. I pray, God, that I will not get in the way of what your Spirit is wanting to say. God, let me be an ambassador. Let me be a mouthpiece. The Holy Spirit, do the convicting and the drawing to Jesus in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at some how God can be personal to you. And it's a question of what does it mean? What does it mean to walk in favor of God and to be blessed by God? Now, the word blessed is thrown around a lot during the Christmas season. A lot. I mean, a lot of times, if someone says you're blessed, you'll think, well, they're rich, or so-and-so is blessed. You ask some Christians how they're doing, and they'll say something like this, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, what do they mean when they say that? Sometimes they're just meaning that things are going well, and they're just real lucky right now. Some people think that they're very highly favored and blessed when they get a good parking spot at the mall. Lenora, sometimes I pray for a good parking spot at Walmart. I'm like, what in the world? Anyway. What about this? What about this? What about this? Someone around you sneeze, we say. Can I just say something? After I sneeze, the last thing I need is to be blessed. Okay, I mean, that's the last thing I'm thinking. But what does it mean? Where did that come from? Achoo, bless you. What? More like you need a tissue, you know? I mean, where does it come from? And so here's the deal. One of the most, I believe, misunderstood top five things in the world today is this being highly favored and blessed. So what exactly does it mean? How do you know you're walking with God? How do you know that you're walking in the blessing and the favor of God? How do you know that? I mean, because that's what the angel told Mary. Because if we're not careful, we'll hear words like this. We'll hear words that say, well, I'm favored, I'm blessed. And you know what we'll immediately do? Oh, because see, Baptists for many years were afraid of the Holy Spirit. For many years, you never heard mention of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost in a Baptist church. It was off limits. And we would always talk about charismatic churches. Oh, don't talk, that's charismatic. Here's my stand on all of that. If it's in here, it's free reign to preach and teach and learn. Now, do some people take it and go to the extent? Yes. But what we did as Baptists, we took it the other way and we just shut up. And I believe we lost a lot of years of seeing the Holy Spirit move the way He should. And so when I mention being blessed and highly favored, don't think I'm thinking of the prosperity gospel. They got it wrong. They put more attention on the gift rather than the giver. And listen to me. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you give to any of those phonies on TV more than you give to the church that you belong to, shame on you. No, don't clap. And nobody go say, Dr. Marshall, he was talking about you today. He's on TV. Don't you dare go and tell Dr. Marshall that I said he was a phony on TV. All right, listen, we're going to look at verses 46 through 56, okay? Because here's what I want you to see. Here's what's great about Mary. Oh, my goodness. I really, 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 really want you to pay attention. Mary was so humbled. She was so humble. And yet Mary called herself, in verse 48, she said, many, for generations, I will be called blessed. I will be called. She understood where she was, where she stood with God. And so really, this is the first Christmas hymn or Christmas chorus ever written, if you think about it. I mean, here's Mary, and she's writing this song, not a more of a sentimental song, because here's what we do, Pastor Travis. we're going to sing these Christmas songs, but when you come, and by the way, on December the 28th, we're having one big worship service. Just one big, it's going to be incredible. We probably won't sing Christmas songs because Christmas is over. So we'll move on and we'll sing other songs. But yet next December roll around, we'll sing it again because they're sentimental. And that's what you do at Christmas. And yet, here's what I want you to learn from Mary's song. Mary's song. A true song that is really, 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 and especially if you find it out of God's Word, it ought to change your life, son. It's more than sentimental. It's revolutionary. It literally changes your life. It turns your world upside down. And so here's what I want to ask before we jump into what does it mean to be blessed and highly favored according to Mary. Would you have thought of Mary as blessed? Now, here we go, okay? Had I brought Mary up on the stage, would you have thought that she was blessed or highly favored? Because here's what we do. You're blessed if you live in a big house, drive a nice car, and wear nice clothes. That's what the world feeds to us. But listen to Mary. Her reputation was ruined. Remember, she was a teenage girl, pregnant out of wedlock. She was engaged to a guy, but they didn't live together. So therefore, you know what people said? Well, it's not his. It's somebody else's. Matter of fact, the angel that showed up, remember this, the angel did not even tell Joseph about this until several months later. So when she's writing this song, when she's writing starting in verse 46 through verse 56, she's writing, I want you to think about this, guys, think about this. She's writing this song, and she thinks everybody has turned their back on her. Some scholars say that she's writing this song, and she literally fled from her home. Now, they're not meaning that her parents were mean to her, but yet she didn't want to cause public disgrace for her family. So she goes to Elizabeth's house. Think about that. The angel tells her, Elizabeth is present. Go. And so she goes to this. So here she is. She's thinking that she's all alone. Hey. Yet she writes a praise chorus. Her reputation remains stained, what some scholars say, for the rest of her life. Even when Jesus was crucified, there were still people who told the story that Mary had gotten pregnant by a Roman soldier. So here's something I want you to think about, okay? You ready? God did that to her. Remember, we're talking about being blessed and highly favored. God did that to her. God could have chosen to work in a different circle. God could have chosen to reveal his plan to Mary and Joseph in a different way, but yet he did not. And so my question is this, would you consider this situation highly favored? She was very poor. Matter of fact, she was so poor, she was the poorest of the poor, because Scripture shows that if you go over to Luke chapter 2, verse 24, she offered two turtle doves as a sacrifice. Now, and then if you read Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8 said that after a lady has a baby, male or female, she is to come and she is to offer a sacrifice for her purification. And it's a lamb sacrifice. But if they cannot afford it because they're too poor, they could offer two turtle doves or two pigeons. And that's what we see that Mary offered. So she was very poor. And then there's just the difficulty of having a baby at the age as a kid. And between ages 14 and 18 years old. I mean, think about this. An angel shows up and says this, hey, you're going to have a baby. And by the way, it's going to be God. That's all. You figure out the rest. Oh, and by the way, I'm not going to tell anybody else, not even your fiance, at least for a little while. Can you imagine being that young and the weight of I'm going to give birth to the Son of God dropped on you? Angel came, the baby is God's. There is no believable explanation. So be honest. If you were to look at Mary, based on the externals, would you have called her blessed? Yet, when she went shopping, she didn't even get a favorable parking spot. Yet, in the very core of her being, she's carrying God. She is the only human being on the face of this earth that Jesus resembled physically. Have you ever thought of that? So what does it mean? What does it mean? Here we go. What does it mean to be blessed? Remember, we're talking about how God made a promise back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he was going to bring forth this seed that was going to crush Satan's head, and he would bruise his heel, but Jesus would ultimately win. We're fulfilling all of that. But in the meantime, Mary is writing this song, and I want to show you during this Christmas season, because many of you are struggling in here. And hopefully you can find some help through the Holy Spirit of God through what is said about Mary. So what does it mean to be blessed or highly favored? Are you ready? Are you ready? Number one, you must understand your need of the presence of God. You must understand your need of the presence of God. Now notice in her song how often Mary talks about God in the first person. Notice this. She says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Then in verse 48, she talks about how he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. So therefore, he looked upon her. Verse 49, he says, for he is mighty and has done great things for me. In other words, he's personal. In verse 52, he says, he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. So in other words, he's saying, he lifts me up. In verse 53, it says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. So he's saying, I was hungry. She said, I was hungry, and yet he fed me. So here she is. Now get this, guys. Get this in your mind. She's writing this praise course, but nothing in her circumstances has changed. If anything, they've gotten worse. I mean, it's not like she won the lottery. It's not like somebody, she got this great job. It's not like, no, she still is in the middle of this predicament. And yet, she's rejoicing. She's not rejoicing in what God gave her. She's rejoicing what God has become to her in Christ. So at this point, Jesus is the only exaltation she has. The baby in her womb is her only fullness, her only sustenance, her only salvation. You remember what Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13? Paul said this. Listen, Paul said, I have learned that in whatever state I am to be content. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So he puts, listen to what he does. He puts the emphasis on Jesus, not on things. When I don't have a lot, I'm still content in Christ. When I have a lot, I'm still content in Christ. So then she says this. In verse 49, she did something. Now, I'm just going to be honest. When I started reading this, I thought, I've got to unpack this for you. Because I want you to see how Mary... See, a lot of people look at Mary as though she was sinless. There's a lot of people that look at Mary and think that she was sinless. Understand, Mary had to be saved the exact same way you had to be and I had to be. No man comes into the Father except through Jesus. But, I want you to listen to me. She had believed God. She trusted God. Just the same way Abraham trusted God. She believed God. But I want you to see, Mary understood the gospel. Because listen to what she wrote. Listen to what she wrote in verse 49 and 50. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. So she gives us three attributes of God combined to make the gospel. Okay? Three attributes of God that combine to make the gospel. Attribute number one of God, he is holy. God is holy. The first attribute of God that makes the gospel is that God is holy. Now people misunderstand the word holy. In the church, a lot of people look at the church, and when they look at the church, they think the word holy means ultra-religious, weird, or otherworldly. But yet we know the word holy means wholeness or perfection. In other words, it is everything God created it to be. A holy earth is an earth that functions in all the beauty of God creating in it. A holy person is someone who lives with integrity and honesty and love. A holy marriage is one where the wife and husband serve each other and love one another. So God is holy, which means God is perfect and there's no corruption. Listen, guys, everybody listen to your pastor this morning. We have gotten used to sin. God never will. We have gotten used to the way things are. We say, well, it is the 21st century. Sin is still sin no matter how many centuries come and go. And we must understand, listen, and we can't have our pet sins. We can't look at someone and judge them with a speck in their eye when we got a log sticking out of ours. We need to make sure that we view everything we do, through the lens of the Word of God. That's why in the Old Testament, before the priests would go in, they would wash their hands in that laver, in that water there, and it was mean a cleansing. We are to use the Word of God to wash us and to make sure there's nothing in our life that would hinder God's movement upon our life or this church. So here's, I want to ask you a question. Is there something in your life right now that you are hiding from God, and that you think you're hiding from God, but you're not, that if God were to reveal it, if the holy eyes of God were to reveal it right now in your life, would it be hindering His movement in this church? You're part of this body. You're part of this body. And God is holy. God is holy. Here's what Tim Keller said. Listen to this. He said, suppose you sit down to a meal. It's perfectly prepared. But on the plate was a piece of a rotting corpse. That's what it would be like for us to be in heaven without Jesus. Sin approaching God is like an ice cube approaching the surface of the sun. He's holy. Number two, He's merciful. Mercy means that God looked at us and had compassion. Mercy means that He couldn't just look at us. Oh, mercy means He couldn't look at us and just let us perish. Have you ever heard parents say this? Oh, my baby is sick. And if I could take that sickness from them, I would. All eyes right here. God looked upon the world and said, this world is sick. And I'm going to take their sickness from them. I'm going to come down, and according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, He took our sickness. He took our sin. He bore our sin. And therefore, dear friends, our God is merciful to us. I'm telling you, Luke 11 says, that our love towards our kids is like evil compared to God's love towards us. We can't comprehend how much God loves us this Christmas season. He loves us with an unconditional love, with an everlasting love. And God took our pain and sin and suffering for all of eternity when He was born that first Christmas and died and rose again that first Easter. So the first two attributes of the gospel and God are He's holy and He's merciful. But number three, He's mighty. I'm just taking it right out of this text. He's mighty. In other words, God does many mighty and powerful things. But yet the only thing that God has ever called the power of God is the gospel. Let that sink in for a moment. Everybody listen. According to Psalm, I want to read it. Listen to Psalm chapter 8. Psalms 8, verse 3. Listen to this. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, so tonight, it'd be a little cloudy, but if it clears up, go outside and look up at the stars and the moon and the sun. Look at all the universe. Just get you a kid's book and go back and look at all the universe. Hey, are y'all listening to me? That wasn't the work of His right arm. That wasn't the work of His hands. That was the work of His finger. Listen to this. Listen to what Sally Lloyd-Jones said in her book, Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. If the Milky Way were the size of North America, our solar system would be a coffee cup. Earth would be a speck of dust in that coffee cup. And each of us is a speck on the speck inside the coffee cup. So God made this universe with His finger. It was a miracle when God hung the stars in place, but it's an even greater miracle when He came to earth to rescue us. Do you still think you're too guilty? Do you still think your sins are too much for God to forgive? To the dying thief on the cross, He showed there was no sinner beyond the reach of His mercy. to the woman with the issue of blood, he showed there was no problem too small, no person too marginal for him to care for. At the tomb of Lazarus, he showed us that he weeps with us in our pain, and yet he has the power to raise the dead. He is the treasure. Jesus is the blessing. And then in Psalm 8:4, he says, what is man? I mean, he loses thought. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him and the Son of Man that you visit him? I'm telling you, the greatest blessing, the blessing that makes all other blessings disappear, is the fact that Jesus is mine. Think about that. Think about that. I'm not talking about some God sitting on a throne or some fat, chubby statue guy sitting in a thousand Buddhas. I'm talking about a God that left heaven and clothed himself in flesh and lived sinless for you and me, and then decides in the person of the Holy Spirit to come and to live inside of you, dear friends. That is the God we're talking about this morning. Oh, hallelujah. He's holy. He had to do something about our sin. He's merciful. He wanted to do something about our sin. He's mighty. He was able to do something about our sin. Number two, how am I blessed and highly favored? I have to understand my need of the presence of God. Right now, some of you in this room, you think you're going to get to heaven based upon some little prayer you prayed and got in the baptistry, but it's never changed your life because God's never invaded your life. You're going off of rituals. You're going off of something you did in the past that has not changed you in the present. That, my friend, is not biblical salvation. You need to understand your need of the presence of God. Number two, you need to understand, and this is good, that God's promises are still true even in the midst of difficulty. Even in the midst of difficulty. In other words, his promises are still true. So what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, think about this. In Jesus, in Christ, God was fulfilling the promise he gave to Abraham and his descendants many years before to bless him and to make him a blessing to all the nations. It had been several thousand years since that promise. I'm sure that many had concluded that the promise was no longer valid if they even existed at all. Can I give you something to make you think about? When the angel of God showed up to Mary that day, do you realize that heaven had gone off the air for 400 years? Do you realize that when Malachi wrote the last statement in Malachi, that for 400 years there was no prophecy made? There was no voice from heaven heard? There was nothing. And I believe there are many people were saying, oh, God has forgotten us. God has forgotten us. He made a promise, but God has not kept his promises. Yet God had not forgotten. In all things, he was working to bring forth Jesus, which was a greater blessing than any of them had ever dreamed. Any of them had ever dreamed. Listen to what it says in verse 44. Verse 54. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. In other words, in the same way, God is working in and through you, sometimes invisibly, sometimes silently, but he's working in you to bring forth Jesus from you. And sometimes, and even right now, some of you in this room, don't miss this. Sometimes it may feel like that he has forgotten you. But he hasn't. Let me go back and ask the question that I asked at the beginning. Why did God do it this way? He didn't have to. Why did he do it this way? I mean, think about it. This was not like that God worked in a bad situation. God caused the bad situation. Now think about that. I'm not saying that he caused something bad, but in Mary's life at the time, in Joseph's life at the time, it appeared that it was bad. Why? Why? I want you to listen to this statement. God was allowing Mary to taste the cross. God was allowing Mary to taste the cross because that is how he will bring salvation to the world. You see, God has said, now this is going to be the part of the sermon where you really want to tune in, but some of you may sit there and go, I don't understand that. I want you to listen. God has said that he will bring salvation to the world in part a little bit through our suffering. Let me read to you in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to what it says. Verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Verse 13. but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Others will look at that joy and wonder, how can they be joyful? Verse 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. In other words, being blessed and highly favored does not mean living a life without suffering and bad situations. Being blessed and highly favored means having the presence and the inaudible promises of God in those situations. It means, listen to this, being blessed and highly favored means having a life in which God is committed to conforming you more toward the image of Jesus and bringing others to know Jesus through you. If I were to tell you right now, you're going to be born and you're going to live a life full of suffering and bad situations, but all of your family is going to come to know Jesus because of through your suffering. All of your friends are going to come know Jesus, but I'm telling you, you're going to go through pain. You're going to go through moments that you don't understand. It's going to seem like you're a doormat for people to walk all over you. What would you say? You see, oftentimes when we look at our suffering and we think, there's nothing good that can come out of that. Remember the cross. The greatest accomplishment ever came out of the worst suffering ever. So remember this. In the middle of your difficulties, please understand God's promises are still true and He has not forgotten you. Oh, sweet lady, sweet man, God has not forgotten you. 10:31, God has not forgotten you. Number three. What does it mean to be blessed and highly favored? You understand that your position is a sinner in need of a Savior, of the Savior. Understand that your position is a sinner in need of the Savior. You know what I noticed about this song of Mary? She really never focuses on her accomplishments and it's really very little about Mary. It's all about God's character, His presence, His promises. This song has very little about her personal worthiness. Now remember, like I told you earlier, some believe that Mary was sinless. That is completely the opposite spirit of this song. Remember in verse 47, she says, God is my Savior. You see, she sees herself as guilty, unworthy, empty, hungry, weak, in need of mercy, in need of help, in need of strength, in need of a Savior. In verse 46, she says, my soul magnifies God. Magnifies the Lord. Listen to this statement. Mary was not amazing. Jesus is amazing. She doesn't magnify herself. Oh, if the Catholic Church would listen to this, and I don't mean to offend any of you in here, but I'm telling you, at the ground, at the cross is level. Mary was highly favored. It means that she had grace bestowed upon her the same way you have. Her soul magnified Him, not herself. And for people to idolize Mary is to miss the point of her song. Listen, your life can only magnify one thing. Your life can only magnify one thing. And whatever you magnify, you're going to glorify. Whatever you magnify, you're going to glorify. Listen to what the gospel is. The gospel is that we were unworthy, that we deserved death, and He took our sin and earthly life and gives us salvation in His eternal life. That's the gospel. So Mary's song, when you read through this, you realize that those whom you think would naturally be blessed, they're not. Listen to verse 51. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. It means dreams and everything, which there's nothing wrong with having dreams, but when those dreams, when you magnify them and you put more stock in them more than you do God, something comes wrong. Something is wrong. Verse 52, He says, He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich He sent away empty. He sent them away empty. And so the problem is when you magnify riches and dreams and positions of power. So I want you to listen to what John Piper said. Man, I almost didn't put this in my sermon. Listen to what John Piper asked. What if God ordained failure? What if God ordained failure? That is, He's going to make it happen. That's the way it's going to be in your life. What if God ordained failure to give you a much greater blessing? What if God ordained failure to give you a much better blessing? As I studied for this message, listen, this is last night. You can ask Lenora. This is what I felt like God was asking me. What do I rejoice in? Chad Grayson, your pastor, what do you rejoice in? What does it take in your life right now to cause you to rejoice? Everything goes well. Your kids are healthy. Married. I mean, what causes you to rejoice? What are you magnifying? And then reading through, just remembering Luke. Don't quote me on this, but Luke 10, verse 20. Jesus had just told them in verse 19 that they had power to cast out demons and handle snakes, and which, good night. But anyway, now think about this, though. But then in verse 20, he says this. Don't rejoice that you have the power to cast out demons. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, listen, in other words, rejoice in the fact that you know me. And so here was my question. Chad, right now, we have celebrations when we get up, Pastor Travis. We have celebrations. Oh, God's doing great things at Ridgecrest. God's doing great things at Ridgecrest. We've got people joining, people getting baptized, people getting saved, people getting right with God, marriages being healed. And can I tell you, we ought to rejoice and we ought to never get comfortable and we ought to never let that be familiar, okay? We ought to always be excited about that. But listen, as a pastor, is that where I'm drawing my joy from? What if God takes all that away? What if He takes all that away? Can I still rejoice? Of course I can. Why? Because I still have Him. Please don't miss this, guys. Don't miss this. What are you rejoicing? What are you magnifying? That's what you're rejoicing in. And some of you in here today, you're rejoicing in the wrong things. And if God were to remove it today, your life would crumble because it's not built upon the rock called Jesus. Here's how you know what you rejoice in. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God. So what you magnify, you rejoice in. Listen to this statement. Jared Wilson, in his book, Gospel Wakefulness, said this. An old man may not give 2 cents about the gospel, but he sure knows how to get excited when his grandkids come over. Men who sit through church services absolutely unmoved by songs and the preaching of the gospel, they'll sure get excited when their teen scores a touchdown today. Young women who feel complacent when they read the Bible but light up when there are sales at the mall. They will look for hours online at clothes they can't afford but can't spend 15 minutes in prayer talking to the God of all surpassing glory who has given Himself to them in Christ. You don't have joy right now? Could it be that the source of your joy has moved past God? Mary, get this, guys. Here we go. Ready? Here's Mary. If anybody had any reason to be going, oh, it was Mary. And yet, she pondered those things. She obeyed when the angel said what she said, your maidservant. We'll do accordingly. In other words, I'll do whatever. And we find Mary rejoicing in the middle of difficulty. How about it right now? Pastor Travis, go ahead and come on up. How about it right now? Everybody in this church, I want you to look right up here at me and listen. Some of you may need to do what Mary did. Some of you just need to say, God, I don't understand what it is in my life that you're trying to teach me right now. I don't understand, God, but I know this. God, I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. And I'm going to do what you say. I don't understand it, God, but your promises are true. God, I understand I need your presence. And if you're lost in here today, look at me. If you're lost in here today, you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I still feel that there are people in here maybe like that. You do not know for sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You, dear friends, need to invite the God of all creation, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You need to invite Jesus to come in and reside in your heart. Live in your life. Become Lord of your life. And then many of you may just need to say, you know what, God? No matter what, I'm going to obey you. No matter what. May not make sense to me, but I'm going to trust your promises. I'm going to trust you. Let's pray. Father, oh God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that I know you have spoken to people in this room. And God, I know that there are people who need to make life-changing choices today. Mary had a choice to make, God. She chose to obey you. She could have said no, but she chose to obey you. And God, right now, there are many people who as the result of their life right now is because they said no to you years ago. But God, please let them know that you haven't given up on them. And God, they still can say yes today. God, they can say yes and be used today. Until our last heartbeat on this earth, we can still say yes to you. So God, I pray that all over this auditorium, there are many who will say yes to you. God, if there's someone in here with their head bowed and their eyes closed, and God, maybe they just don't know for sure that they're saved. Maybe they don't know for sure that if they died, they're going to go to heaven. God, I pray that they would just pray something like this. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm lost, but I want to be saved. I ask you, Jesus, come into my life and save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. Take me to heaven when I die.